Okay, we're looking at what is a fundamentalist. We're using 1 John chapter 2, these verses that are there, 18 through 22, kind of summarizes a lot of what fundamentalism is and where it came from and why we have it. And the first verse, the sign of the times, that's not the first verse of the chapter, but verse number 18, the first verse in this passage we're looking at, talked about the Antichrist. Then verse 19, we saw the separation of the apostates, and that's why there's so many denominations today. People may ask, why is there so many denominations? Has anyone ever asked you that? They've asked me that. A lot of times I've heard that question. Well, it's not because we've changed, but it's because they've changed. And so they wanted to make it known that they were not the old school, orthodox, fundamental type of a church, so they formed their own denominations. Then we saw the schoolmaster of the believer last time. We concluded with that. Didn't spend a lot of time there, but it's the Holy Spirit of God, the unction in verse number 20. Today I want to look at the surety of the scriptures. Surety. The fact that the scriptures are something we can count on. Any fundamentalist church, and a lot of the evangelical church say it, they don't practice it or really believe it, but that this book is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And we believe that and we practice that because that we know we can rely on God's Word. And so that's what the study's all about tonight. Nothing that you haven't heard, nothing that you don't know. Who said, what is truth? That's number one there. Who said that? Anybody know? Pontius Pilate. And so we don't have to turn to John 18, verse 38, but I think he is reflecting the question that almost every man asks. How do I know what to believe, especially in religious matters? Because there's so many different denominations, so many different Bibles. There are those that say that it doesn't matter what version you use, it's all God's Word, but a lost man knows better. And there are lost men who will never get saved because they don't know which Bible to believe. They know they're different, even though those that are trying to say you can use whatever you want will claim they're essentially the same. A lost man knows better. And there are those that are probably suffering in hell right now because of the Bible version proliferation. And I firmly and sincerely believe the devil's behind that. He really is. And he's using it as a great tool. And it's causing a lot of fundamentalist churches, the Bible version debate is causing a lot of fundamentalist churches to dip their colors and become new evangelicals. And that's unfortunate. But we're searching for truth. Where do we find truth? Well, I'm glad you asked. The next couple questions tell us that. In John chapter 1, let's look at a few of these verses. I probably should have read our verse that we're springing off is verse 21 in John chapter 2, where it says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And so the truth is always the truth, and it doesn't matter if no one believes it. It's still true, isn't it? And so the Christians back in the first century knew the truth, and they should have identified falsehood. But in John chapter 1, we read this of Jesus, verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now notice this last phrase, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus was full of truth. There was no error, no lie, no deception in Him. In James it says, no shadow of turning. Now it involves more than just that aspect of truth, but the fact that He is nothing else but truth, and the reason why is given to us in John 14, 6. Can anyone quote John 14, 6? Okay. Jesus said, if you caught what Pastor Stephen said, you probably couldn't. But in that verse, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's why he's full of truth, because he is truth. And there's a lot of difference between being full of truth or possessing the truth and being truth. And he is truth. He can therefore never, ever, ever lie. And so Pilate asked, what is truth? Truth was standing before him in bodily form, wasn't it? Truth was the one to whom the question was directed on that day. He was Jesus, the living word. This book that we hold in our laps is the written word. And essentially, there is no difference. These are the very words of the living word of God. And we need to receive them as such and give them their place of authority and realize that they really are the final authority in all matters of faith, the things that we believe, and practice, the way that we act, belief and behavior. This book should rule and govern supreme in all those areas. So we don't listen to some preacher somewhere. Oh, he says it's okay for me to fill in the blank. Smoke, drink, use drugs, speak in tongues, whatever your pet little thing is. What does this book say? Doesn't matter what Dr. So-and-so says. Doesn't matter what a book says, a commentary. What matters is what God's word says. You know, that's one thing that every cult has in common. Virtually all of them will hold up the Bible and say, this is God's word. And you think, well, hooray for that. Well, not quite. Because then they hold up the writings of their founder and say, and these are in addition to this. And when there's a difference, the writings of the founders always supersede the Bible. So the Bible is not the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It's the writing of their founder. And you know who else does that? The biggest group under the umbrella of Christianity in the world, the Roman Catholics. I still remember her name was Nancy at this point. I don't remember. It's been so many years. But her and my eldest sister-in-law played Cupid. And now 41 years later, here's my wife and I. It worked. But I thought, I worked with Nancy and she was Catholic and a charismatic Catholic. And they actually encouraged speaking in tongues in their church service, and very unusual. But they used the same words that we would use. They talked about salvation and being born again. Now, they meant something entirely different. But it finally came down one day where I asked her, and I've told you this before, I asked her, if the Bible said one thing and the Pope said something different, which one are you going to believe? And she admitted she would believe the Pope over the Bible every time. And that's Roman Catholicism, and that's unfortunate. Roman Catholicism fits every box of a cult, except they do admit that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the only box they don't check, but every other one they check. And I did a study on cults in my first church. We spent a lot of time on it. Different ones that were in the area. Well, I covered Roman Catholicism because it fits the bill. All right, so we believe the Word of God is truth, the written Word, recording the words of the living Word. And so Jesus is truth. So we ask that question, where is truth? It's in Jesus Christ. What cannot be broken? Now, this is a multiple choice. I'm sure this has got you scratching your head. I wonder which one it could be. So we better turn to John chapter 10, verse 35. I mean, a threefold cord, that's pretty strong. A pinky promise, you know you can't go back on your word if you make a pinky promise. Or is it the scriptures? John 10, 35. Here the Bible says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. It can't be changed. Now, you notice it's little g. This is used in the sense of a lord or someone who is an authority figure among men. And that's the context taken out of the book of Psalms when it's quoting it there. And Jesus' point is, you can't change what the Old Testament said. That is truth. That is reliable. And you just can't change what God has spoken. And so obviously the scriptures when I taught in the Bible Institute, every once in a while I'd throw a question like that, a multiple choice, and put a couple silly answers in there. So give them one easy one, because they were whining and complaining and griping all the time about how hard the tests were. So every once in a while I would do that. So I thought I'd do it today. All right, number five. I'm sorry, we're on number four. What can God not do? What is it impossible for God to do? Titus chapter 1. Yeah, very good. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And so it's impossible. Remember what he is, not just what he's full of, but what he is. He's truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And so it's impossible for him to lie. And there's a number of verses. And I know I've got a number of verses on this sheet, but I'm just scratching the surface on the verses of this, on this subject. God wants us to rest assured that this book is truth. We can base our lives on it. We can rest our eternity in it, because God cannot lie. And in fact, that's the context here in Titus 1:2, is resting our eternity on what this book says. God promises eternal life, and God can't lie. So how can we not have eternal life? That's the argument being made here in the first few verses of the book of Titus. And so God can't lie. So if you read it in the book, it's true. So let's go to the subject of evolution, much debated today. Did God lie when he said that in a 24-hour period of time, the light and the dark, he called it day and night, and that was the first day? Did he lie? No, he can't lie. It had to happen that way. What about life beginning at conception? What did God have David write in Psalm 139 about being in the womb and his members being formed? God knew him there. And we could go to passage after passage. And so the abortion crowd today, that now they're trying to say, and they're trying to get it popularized, but it's just not catching on very well, because even a lost man knows better. They're trying to say life really doesn't begin until you're a year or two old. And so if you don't like what you got, just bring it down. We'll take care of it for you. In other words, murder it. And you can try again, and maybe you'll like it next time. Maybe you'll get a good one. Boy, how many of us would still be alive if it depended on our first year or two of life? I mean, babies are babies, and they're going to do what babies do. And some are good, like Moses, and some are bad. And maybe not bad, they're just trying to communicate. But nevertheless, God says, this is our final authority, all matters of faith and practice. If God said life begins at conception, then it's true. And those that are saying that if life begins at any other point, whether it be the moment we're born, whether it be at 6 months, at 8 months, at the detection of a heartbeat. I mean, that's a big one, isn't it? They're passing a law as soon as you can detect a heartbeat, and that's fairly early. But that's not when it begins to become human and a life and a soul. It all begins at conception, because the Bible says so. Are we going to believe the book? I hope so, because that's what makes us a fundamentalist. This book is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, because God can't lie. Now I ask the same question twice in Numbers 5 and 6. Simply, why can't man change the scriptures? They're trying, aren't they? And you can get an NIV, a NASB, an ESV, and on the letters go. And they changed it. Or did they? And I like to say and suggest, and I'm convinced 100%, they have not changed God's word. And those books they have that say Bible on the front are lying right on the cover. It's not a Bible. Those are the writings of man. It resembles a Bible. In fact, they really lied on the NIV and the ESV, which is almost identical. It's uncanny if you compare those two Bibles. I don't know how they didn't get a copyright infringement on the ESV. They must have changed just enough, but it's almost identical to the NIV. And I've got a statement here a little bit later that kind of talks about this, but the NIV is nothing more than a translation, or not a translation, but a paraphrase. It's nothing more than a paraphrase. Good news for modern man, that never really caught on. I mean, the ultra-liberals loved it because all it was a paraphrase. Taking God's word and saying it in different words that were more palatable. There was no concern with translation and being accurate to the text. There's no concern. Let's just tell this in a way that's a little bit easier to understand in today's English, and we'll try to get the gist of what he's trying to say. That's all the NIV did. That's all the ESV has done, and most of the other translations. Now, that's one thing where the NASB and the RSV tried to change a little bit. They tried to actually translate, but the ones that are popular didn't translate. They paraphrased. They paraphrased, and it's all because of their basis of translation philosophy. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a minute, but man can't change it. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. This is important passage, so let's go ahead and look at that one. We looked at it already in our previous study when we studied the Word of God, and I read it many, many times. But this is critical to the Bible debate that we have in our world today. The words of the Lord, this is verse number 6, Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Now here's what's critical. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Not the Roman Catholic Church, not the church anywhere, but thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So man can't change God's word because God preserves them. God preserves his word. Now, if God preserves it, the question then has to be asked, well, which one is God's word? Because things that are different are not the same. It's just that simple. I mean, when I was in Ohio, you'd be surprised how many people in Ohio can't tell the difference between green and white and maize and blue. Now, of course, green and white is Michigan State. Maize and blue is the University of Michigan. And they got so confused, they could not keep the two universities apart. Now, the true sports fans did, but they just loved teasing me because Michigan State wasn't very good either. And, of course, Ohio State owned Michigan while I was in Ohio. I'm glad I came back. We've won every game since. I think I'll stay. But anyway, things that are different are not the same. If you try to tell a Michigan State alumni that he graduated from the University of Michigan, he's not going to be your best friend. It's just the way it is. Well, the NIV is different than the King James Version. Things that are different are not the same. Only one can be the Bible. Which one is it? Because God said he preserved his word. So they can't both be his word. Only one can. Only one can be the preserved word of God. That's what these verses are telling us. And so we have to make that choice. And are we going to choose a manuscript that didn't exist until 1881? And so every church, every pastor was preaching something other than the word of God until 1881. That's what the NIV and the ESV and the NASB and the NKJV, that's what they all want to tell you. Nobody had the Bible until we produced it for you in 1881. Now, they didn't produce it. Westcott and Hort and their committee did. We give the credit to Westcott and Hort. They were both the two leaders on that team, but it was a team of men that corrupted everything and invented a lot of stuff that was false and lies and led, I believe, by Satan himself. And so which ones did God preserve? The one that the church has always preached? That's why it's called the received text. Church has always received it, believed it to be God's holy preserved word. And so, anyway, that's why man can't change it, because God preserved it. And then another reason why man can't change it, Psalm 119:89. Does anyone have an inkling what that one says? It's one of those verses you know, but you don't know that you know it. Psalm 119, verse 89, and I'll go ahead and read it, because if I tried to quote it, I would misquote it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In Rome. Not the Vatican, but in Rome. And I know I'm hitting on the Roman Catholics a lot tonight, but they like to tell us that they gave us the Bible and that they're in control of the Bible, and therefore they can change the Bible. And that's just what they believe. That's what they teach. It's false. It's wrong. We believe this is God's word, and man has no authority. And even though they pretend to change it, making immersion become sprinkling or pouring, it doesn't change God's word. They're just disobedient to God's word, believing that you can be saved by good works and that you cannot be saved by faith alone. That doesn't change God's word. It's still by faith that it might be by grace. And so even though they pretend to change it, it is impossible because God's word is settled in heaven. And so man can't reach heaven. There's only been one man on the earth that's been to heaven and back. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the living word, who gave us then his written word. And we're going to have to stop there. We just got two more, but I am entirely out of time. The second hand just went past 8 o'clock, if I can see it right. But anyway, we'll be dismissed in prayer. I just want you to really get this, and that's why we spent a whole study on the Bible. This book is our final authority. And if you understand this book and know this book, like was mentioned there in 1 John chapter 2, it will keep us from being led astray, because the deceivers, and we talked about this recently too, the deceivers come as angels of light, eloquent, charismatic, seem to possess the truth, but they're full of lies and deception, wolves in sheep's clothing. And we've got to be able to pick up what they say wrong and what they leave out to make what they say wrong, though it sounds right. All right, well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we study it, consider it. Lord, help us to understand it. May your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. And Father, may we be pillars of faith and pillars of the truth. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.